You ready? Just give you a pause. Okay. Well, good morning, everybody, my extended digital family. We welcome you to our service. Before I just dig in and dive in with our message this morning, I want to talk really quickly about the excitement of the Christmas season. See, we've been chatting as a staff, and we are fully convinced that in the midst of a Christmas that is very different, I've been calling it in my emails COVID Christmas, that Christmas is not canceled. Christ has come, and he has poured out his love and shown his love to us, and we want to ensure that we, God's people, celebrate this and remember this. And so I want to just bring you up to speed about what's going to happen over the course of this Advent season, more specifically our Christmas Eve service. Now, traditionally, we have this kind of one day, this big service, and we gather to celebrate and remember Christ coming on Christmas Eve. But COVID is going to change this up for us. And so I want you to know and be aware, we are actually planning for 4 Christmas Eve services, and we're willing and ready to even add a 5th if necessary, okay? And so we want you to be aware that our Christmas Eve services are going to be on December 22nd at 6:30 p.m., December 23rd at 6:30 p.m., and then on December 24th at 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. And we are doing this because we really believe in this season, and we want to bring hope in a world that maybe more than ever, at least in our generation, more than ever needs that hope of the Christmas season and the message of Jesus, the one who has come to save us. And so we want to ensure that there's opportunity for you to celebrate, for our community to celebrate, and we're going to do Christmas Eve services differently as a result, and that's when they're going to be. We host services in a completely socially distanced fashion. Face masks are mandatory as we gather. We have a team that ensures everyone is seated properly, is distanced throughout. We have a team of cleaners that come in between each service and clean fully. And so if you are thinking you would like to be a part of one of those services, we just need you to text in and pre-register so that we can plan accordingly. Again, it was on the 22nd, 23rd, and 2 on the 24th. The phone number is 780-604-3363. And let us know what service you'll come to, how many of you will be here, and we will ensure that things are handled in such a way that they are give us a safe way to celebrate this Christmas season. That said, we realize that for a number of you, it is not wise yet to be at a gathering like that, and we understand that, and we want to ensure that you know there'll be a digital service as well. We will have everything prepared so that on December 24th at 6:30 p.m. as well, so the same time some will be gathering here, there will be a digital Christmas Eve service streamed on Facebook Live and YouTube, and so you are welcome to take that in that way. So whenever way works for you, we hope that you'll join us to celebrate this Christmas. It's not canceled. Jesus has come, and there is hope in the message of his love, and we want to ensure that we celebrate that as a gathering and as a community. So please do that. That'd be a huge help to us. In light of that, we are in this Christmas season that has brought a lot of very different emotions and experiences. I don't know about you, but I've never really experienced an isolated, socially distanced Christmas. And in many ways, as I process with my extended biological family, how do we gather or can we gather, and looks like we can't, it brings some feelings of being and feeling alone. And maybe that's something you're working through, that sense of being alone in the midst of Christmas because of COVID. If that's you this morning, I want you to know that this message is for you. My hope and my prayer is that you'll sense the presence of Jesus and that it will just uplift you and bless you today. There's probably, though, a number of you going through this season who've got that sense and that feeling of being alone, and it's really magnified in a whole nother way, a whole nother level. Perhaps you're in the midst of a season where not only is COVID forcing you to be alone, but you literally feel alone because your family, you are not seeing eye to eye. They've perhaps turned away or rejected you, maybe even. Or perhaps you've lost a loved one this year, and that sense of loneliness is at a whole new level that you never thought or imagined you would experience. If that's you, my hope and my prayer is that this message really will resonate, and that you will know that Jesus gets it. That might sound like pastoral fluff at the beginning, but I hope as you hear me unpack Luke 2:1-7, as we've already read, you'll come to this fresh experience of seeing that Jesus gets it. He gets me. And that will bless you, and that his presence will comfort you in this season. So as a means to get to where I'm going, I do want to preface it with this. I got a kind of part-time gig beyond being a pastor. I'm also a detective. Detective dad, that is. My boys, they daily keep me on my toes in this role of being a detective, and I've become quite astute at being a detective. Take this week. I asked one of my boys to clean up the dog poo in the backyard. Get home after work. I look at the backyard. I still see some dog poo. Hey, I thought I told you to clean up the dog poo. I did, Dad, one of them says. Why do I see some right there? Oh, they say to me, Duke, that's my dog. He must have went again. Now, here's the thing. My dog, Duke, he goes poop twice a day when he eats, in the morning and after supper. That's it. This was after work. He hadn't eaten yet. So I said, Duke hasn't eaten yet. That means he hasn't gone yet. Oh, I must have missed that one, Dad. Yeah, mm-hmm. You've been there, right? If you're a parent, you got to play that detective role. I've become a bit of an ace. Now, as I unpack today's text, you need to know that I'm wearing my detective dad hat a little bit in this. Now, Detective Dad, the reality is I can't actually prove that Duke didn't get outside and go to the washroom, but the evidence leads me to come to that conclusion, if you will. That's how I'm approaching the text today. You need to know, I cannot prove to you what I think happened in Luke 2:1-7. And in fact, you are welcome to disagree with me. It's totally okay to disagree. If I am actually ruining the Christmas story for you, I kind of apologize, but not totally. I mean, this is what I think happens. I just want to communicate that to you. This is what I think happened. But regardless of if you agree with me and what I think happened in Luke 2:1-7 or not, my hope is as we get to the end, as I've already said, if you're feeling alone, that you will know, that you'll be convinced that Jesus gets it. That he gets you. And that he's there to walk with you this Christmas season. So, all that said, let me kind of begin to unpack that passage with you. We've already read it in the traditional Christmas reading of Luke 2:1-7 in the King James Version. I just want to read it to you in the version that I speak out of to just give another perspective, and I'm going to tie and weave in and out of both of them this morning. So here we go. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So we see this traditional Christmas story being told, and we find Mary and Joseph heading back to Bethlehem because of this decree, the census for taxation purposes that is being issued, and there they are traveling to Bethlehem, Joseph's ancient ancestral home, as it says here, or as it says in the King James Version, to his house and his lineage, if you will. So, quite simply, if this was me traveling back to my ancestral town, at least as far as it goes in Canada, that's as far as I know. I know there's history beyond that. But that would mean for me heading back to the Lloydminster area. My entire family's, at least on my dad's side, ancestry has been in and spent time there in Lloydminster. So that's what that would mean. I would head back to Lloydminster. And in Lloydminster, to this day, there still is family. That's what I'd be doing. I'd be heading back to the Lloyd area, and there would be family there for me to see. My hunch is, be kind of like that for Joseph. He's heading back to his ancestral town, a town in which there was probably still, at some level, family. And he was doing so, as we know, with Mary, his girl, right? As the King James Version says, the one whom he was his espoused wife. Now, this is really important because there's a distinction being made here. In the translation I just read, it's the one whom he's engaged to, right? This is significant for us because Mary is not fully Joseph's wife at this moment, at least culturally in Joseph's day. That's the case. Not fully his wife, that's his espoused wife. It's the one whom he had fully taken on. See, Joseph, we find in the Christmas story, is a man of honor and does the right thing and moves into this position of caring for and looking after Mary. But culturally, that marriage had not been fully established. It was his espoused wife. And so here he is showing up in Bethlehem with his espoused wife, or the one to whom we might call today, as it was used in this translation, engaged. And the one who is with child is with him, noticeably, as the story would lead us to believe. Now, I am not making a point or an argument on this right now. I am simply stating cultural fact, okay? In our culture and in our society, for a woman to be pregnant outside of wedlock would be seen as something that is normal and acceptable and just part of life in 2020. In Joseph's day, Jesus' day, we gotta understand that this is incredibly frowned upon. And it's not just frowned upon. I mean, this reality for Joseph to be with an espoused wife, someone that he's not legally yet married to, and she's pregnant, would culturally bring a whole lot of shame. Culturally, this would be seen as completely unacceptable. You could go so far as to say culturally in Joseph's circle, in Mary's circle, they would be seen as those that people would reject, even seen as those they would be seen as unworthy. I know that this is not how we would think today. And so it's important that we understand that cultural reality for Joseph and Mary 2,000 years ago. This is not what you would plan or want in a family unit. To be pregnant outside of wedlock, this brings shame, a sense of being unacceptable, unworthy, rejected. Maybe if I had to pick one word, I could say, you would feel really alone. This brings me back to how we started, that sense of being alone. A few weeks ago, I shared a story as I spoke on discipleship about a gentleman who bought me milkshakes for about 6 months, the milkshake man. For those of you who follow me on social media, you probably have noticed that the gentleman who bought me milkshakes passed away last week. It was expected. He had been battling and struggling with ALS, a horrible disease. And as I interacted with his wife via technology and via phone calls this past week, I mean, it brought all kinds of emotions as I processed that. But in doing so, I went back and I looked at pictures of that stage of my life as I interacted with that particular man, and I remembered how alone I felt then. I look back now as an adult, right, and I know, like, I wasn't actually alone, but that's nonetheless how I felt. I felt alone. I felt like socially I was unacceptable. I felt like socially I was unworthy. I felt like I didn't fit in. I was alone. At least so I thought. And those emotions kind of came back to me, if you will, as I was processing his passing and just mourning that on my own and kind of working through those emotions. Which brings me back to how I started and saying this. If you feel alone in this season, whether it's COVID or something more, I'm really sorry. And I hope and I pray that even today, over the course of this little message, you'll sense the presence of Jesus. Because I look back on that experience, as small as it was for me, I know now that I was not alone. I know that Jesus got that. And so wherever you're at, I want you to hear that today that Jesus gets it, whatever you're facing. No matter how much shame you might be feeling, no matter how unaccepted you might be feeling, no matter how unworthy or rejected, no matter how alone you might be feeling in this crazy season of COVID and whatever it is that you face in your family, Jesus does get it, and I want to bring that out even more in just a moment. May you sense the face of Jesus shining today. I want to keep going and tell you why I'm so convinced that Jesus gets it. And to do so, I want to just read one more time verse 7. I'll do so from that King James Version. Knowing that Joseph had gone to his ancestral home, to the area where his lineage was from, that he had done so with his espoused wife who was great with child, she gave birth and she brought forth, verse 7, her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I grew up like picturing this. That there's a census, there's this mass group of people traveling all over, probably showing up at Bethlehem around this time and going to an inn, probably much like literally right next door, the Fort Motel, and coming to the door and knock, 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 right? And all of a sudden, the innkeeper comes out and says, sorry, we're full, no room. I was convinced that's how it's went, but Detective Dad has kind of stepped in, and I think it actually went a little different. If I'm ruining the Christmas story for you, I apologize, but this is just what I think happened. Like I said already, you don't have to agree with me on this point, but this is what I think. If you go to Bethlehem, I mean literally to the city of Bethlehem, and I've been there, and you stand on a hill, you can see Jerusalem. If you stand on anywhere on the south side of the Temple Mount, you can see Bethlehem. That's how close it is. You can see it. It's roughly 8-ish kilometers away. Not far at all. In Jesus' day, all right, this is really important. In Jesus' day, Bethlehem was to Jerusalem what Josephburg is to Fort Saskatchewan. Except it's even closer. And guess what? Josephburg has no inn. My hunch is that Bethlehem didn't have an inn like I've traditionally thought of either. Why? Because Jerusalem was so close. I've done a lot of walking recently. From my house to this church building is 5 kilometers, and I can do that walk in under an hour. Now, I got these long legs, and I get it. It's not rough terrain and what have you, but it's under an hour. If you were traveling in this area in Jesus' day, you didn't stop at Bethlehem because Jerusalem, the major center, was literally just down the road. You could see it. You just keep going. It's like another hour and a bit down the road. Just keep going. That's where the place to stay would be. And in fact, if you kind of track through history, in the Ottoman Empire, this is about the 1500s, okay? A census was taken of Bethlehem then, and it was only 1,400 people then. This is 1,500 years after the birth of Jesus. 1,500 years after the birth of Jesus, it's only 1,400 people big. We do not know how big Bethlehem was in Jesus' day. We don't know. I bet you it's around a couple hundred people. It is small. Is a small little village. My guess is there is no inn in Bethlehem. Because if you needed an inn, you would walk an hour and a bit further and you'd end up in Jerusalem, the major center where the inns were. Well, you might be sitting there thinking, but the text tells us the inn. Like, I've heard this text my whole life. You know, there's no room in the inn. Check it out. Did you notice the way it was worded in the translation I read for you? Because there was no lodging available for them. A very popular literal translation of scriptures today is the ESV. I use the ESV every time I prep for a message. In the ESV, at this word inn, there's an asterisk, and that asterisk takes you down to a literal translation of that word. And this is what it means. Guest room. There was no guest room. Now, I already established I cannot prove this is how it all went, but this is what I think happened. Joseph is traveling to his ancestral village. In an ancestral village, you likely have ancestors or family. And he's traveling with his espoused wife, but there had yet to be a wedding. And who do you invite to a wedding? Family. And what does his family in Bethlehem see as he potentially comes to their door and knocks? His girl, who is very, very pregnant. And culturally, this would bring shame, is unacceptable, they'd be looked at as unworthy. See, I personally think the Christmas story goes like this. Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem. They knock on their family's door. And the family looks at them and says, "Nuh-uh. She's pregnant. You can't come in here." I don't know. I can't prove that. But Detective Dad thinks there's something more going on here. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. I personally believe that, see, even here at the birth of Jesus, that he was despised and rejected by men, even in his birth. Baby Jesus, despised and rejected. No room in the guest room, because culturally, who was seen as shameful, unacceptable, unworthy. There would have been a sense of being very, very alone. I share how I think the story went, because in this season of COVID Christmas isolation, where at the very least many of us are processing a different season, a different sense of aloneness than we ever have, I really want you to know Jesus gets it. If it's even more than just COVID, if there's something within your family unit, people aren't seeing eye to eye, those whom you thought you could trust have turned on you, that you feel like you are despised and rejected, I want you to know Jesus gets it. Even at his birth, I'm convinced Jesus was despised and rejected. Whatever you face today, even in the Christmas season, he gets it. And if you don't agree with my take on the Christmas story, it's okay. Because this much I do know. I am 100% certain of this. That Jesus would then grow. He would live a life as a sinless man. And he would go to the cross. And at the cross, he would take on the sin of the world. And as he took on my sin, the sin of each of us here, your sin, the Heavenly Father would turn his face away. For the one and only time in all history, in all eternity, past, present, future, Jesus, the living God, understood what it meant to be completely and fully alone. And he did that because as we even lit this candle and reflected on love, he did that because he loves you. And he does not want you to be alone. He wants to go through life walking with you. And that walk, it starts when we come to him and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Now, Jesus, here's my life. Take it. It's yours. And at that moment, a relationship with God starts and continues and grows. And so wherever you are, whatever you are facing today, no matter how alone you are feeling or have felt, I hope this morning you know that there is one who is despised and rejected by men, who is without sin, and his name is Jesus, and he loves you. And whatever you face, he gets it, and he's ready, and extending his hand to walk with you in it. Knowing that Jesus gets it, I hope you are blessed by his very presence, the presence of the King of Kings, who came to walk with you. This season, every season, but especially in COVID Christmas. God bless.